position. I think both of us feel exactly the same way. First Lodge has recommended that we strike a target in retaliation for the Metropole bomb. Secondly, I'm inclined to believe it's about time to give them a little crack through bombing for other reasons. Thirdly, we have a target that is not associated with civilian population centers, would not result in any substantial number, if any, civilian deaths. It's an important target. It's a power plant that supplies a quarter of the power of Hanoi and a third of the power of Haiphong. It's about 14 miles from Haiphong. Something on the order of 20 strike aircraft could take it out, we believe. Fourthly, the chiefs strongly favor this. Therefore, if you feel as you did yesterday that it would be wise, I would certainly recommend it to you. My recommendation would be concurred by me.
Is that a different target than the one Max suggested to me?
No, I think it's probably the same one, because I sent Applebuston over to show it to him this morning, and he had no indication of any other target.
Well, he gave the impression to me that you all were against it.
No, that's why I'm calling, Mr. President. He hadn't talked to me this morning when he talked to you, and I think it was just a misunderstanding on his part. Dean and I discussed it.
My instinct was it ought to be done. My instinct was when it happened the other day, it ought to have been done. I thought we ought to have been ready and we ought to hit them back. Well, I thought that the early stages of the talk and the other things you've done that way, it helped us a good deal, but it wasn't done. Then I thought we ought to pick out one and say it done. This morning he called up and said that go ahead and do it, but because I wanted it done, but the general feeling was that I was alone, and I just said, well, I don't want to forget it.
Mr. President, that is the case. You're not alone. Dean and I would recommend this.
Go ahead and do it then. Explain to him, though, what has taken place so I won't have to call him.
I will. I talked to Mac after he talked to you, and he understands I'm calling. And we would state, we leave it up to Lodge to handle the statement to the press that it was in retaliation.
Have you given any thought at all to, I don't want to consider it anybody but you and Dean. I don't want anybody else pulled in on this. What would happen if we asked Taylor to take Mac's place and just kind of be the general guiding hand and the person to review some of these things and let Comer and Bator and them support him, but instead of just having a Comer there, have a man of a little more experience? Does that give us too much military, and would he not like to have that kind of assignment?
I haven't even considered, never occurred to me, Mr. President. Let me think about it. I'll talk to Dean about it, and I'll be sure I have a comment to you shortly.
He looks to me like a man of great integrity and sturdiness, and on the fast things and clearing cables through and moving statements out, I think that Comer and Bator and those that group can do it on the reporting. Brom Smith and that group handle it very well. But it seems to me that sitting in the council and making some of these decisions, that it gives us a maturity and kind of a little protection from the Rivers and the Russells that would be helpful to us. On the other hand, you would have this, you would have the fact they'd think some of it that he was awfully close to the Kennedys. That would be one problem.
Don't worry about that. I don't think that.
The second is that he's a general and that the military is taking over.
That is a problem.
And you might have that with the crafts and the Post and the Times. But he might not like the staff of functions, although I don't think if he would. He would have to be into it to the degree that Mac Bundy is.
You want me to feel him out a little bit?
You might see.
I can do it indirectly without any indication.
You see, what could happen, Bob, would be this. Without him, Comer can do it. With him, Comer can still be doing it, but just supplemented with Taylor. I believe.
I have a real problem with Comer. I'm not sure he's staying.
Might not, but if he stayed for Bundy, I think Taylor has as much stature with the country as Bundy does, as Comer does.
Well, anyhow, he might not, but I wouldn't let that stand in the way.
Well, but what about all your drafting and your cleaning up and your messages filing back and forth with his Taylor?
It's very important.
Was Taylor fast enough for that stuff?
No, he wouldn't do that, but you could get a Comer to do it. Max is right. There's no problem now. He's a little rigid, Mr. President, and he's a little old. And the combination of and I don't mean just chronologically, but he's gone through hell in World War II in Korea. That was pretty tough for him out there, and he's aged physically, and he's aged mentally a little bit, and he is rigid in his thinking, but he's a soul of integrity, and his counsel at times is well worth listening to. So I think it's definitely worth considering.
Seems to me that the Times has got a propaganda campaign on with Cameron's article out of Hanoi and Rustin's out of the other place, that we may have to get a little on the other side and point out that they're pretty barbarous too. I don't know who can do it, but I hope Dean will have a conference, and it might be that you ought to talk to two or three writers about some of their barbarianism and what they're doing to your billets and how they're slipping in killing your men, and they don't get near as much space as Rustin and Cameron do. With their stories, it looks to me like they dovetail pretty well together. The Cameron story, it's above the fold here this morning, and the Rustin is below the fold. And the headline on the Cameron story, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 columns of the Dallas News, says, "Citizens of Hanoi languish in bitterness and defiance. To the people, war excuses everything," by James Cameron, New York Times Service, Hanoi. And then below is the Rustin story. So they are going all out. Now, I think we've got to counter that some way. If you don't, pretty soon you'll just be a bunch of barbarians, who military generals that are just bombing women and children. And these folks will be nice guys. Although they wounded 72 of your boys the other day.
Well, I think we can do something on that. Bill White's coming in to see me this afternoon. I'll talk to him about it.
There are about 4 or 5 folks that I think generally would help some. Some of them criticize us on other things, but I think White does. I think that Roscoe Drummond would be inclined. Max Friedman would be inclined. I don't think Wilson likes you or me, but I think he would be inclined. Dick Wilson and through Sylvester, somebody else, and I think we ought to point out that while Rustin and Cameron talk about Hanoi and Moscow, that they ought to get indignant about some of these billets that they're blasting and these kids that they're hitting at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay,